Experts tell us that bullying is a growing epidemic in our schools and communities. October is Bullying Prevention Month, a campaign founded about 10 years ago by a National Bullying Prevention Center and seeks to unite communities nationwide to educate and raise awareness of bullying prevention. On this week's Eastern Standard, we'll discuss the implications of bullying and how we can come together to prevent children from suffering this crisis. We're interested in your questions, comments, and personal stories. Send them now to WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. post your comment on the WEKU Facebook page or send a tweet at WEKU EST. In just a few minutes, we'll open the phone lines as well. It's time for Eastern Standard as we discuss bullying right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I am John Hingsbergen. We are told that this week is this month is Bullying Prevention Month. This week is a week focusing on various issues of bullying, and we'll ask our guests to help us sort all that out. So this week, we are talking about the concept of bullying and bullying prevention, and we're interested in hearing from you. Our program is an interactive show, so we invite you to be part of the show. Feel free to call in, send an email, send a tweet, post on our website or the Facebook page, either before the show or after the live broadcast. With me in the studio, a number of folks who are going to help us get this discussion going. First up, we have Terry Brooks, Kentucky Youth Advocates. He is executive director of the organization that works with legislators, the governor, and other elected officials to change and enact policies to benefit kids and families. Terry Brooks, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, John. It's great to join you this morning.
With us also across the table, Mary Gibson. And Mary is a graduate of Morehead State University. She works for Berea College, and she's the coordinator of a group of youth leaders in Eastern Kentucky connected to, now I'm going to ask you to spell all this out for me, Mary, because I can't read my own handwriting.
We have lots of acronyms. It's PALS. It's Promising Appalachian Leaders in Service.
And that's associated to GEAR, G-E-A-R.
Yes, it's GEAR UP, and that's Gaining Early Awareness and Readiness for Undergraduate Programs.
Well, welcome, Mary. Thank you for being with us. Also with us is Ken Clark, and Ken is principal of Kit Carson Elementary School in Madison County. Ken has served as associate principal at Morton Middle School in Fayette County. He began his duties as principal at Kit Carson in July of 2014. He's been employed by Fayette County Schools, or was with Fayette County Schools from 2005 on. Also served in that district as a physics teacher at Henry Clay. Ken, thank you so much for taking time out from being principal, the important duties that I'm sure keep a guy occupied all day.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Everybody here busy, of course, but we're focusing on a very important topic, and we're interested again in interacting with our listeners about this topic. We hear a lot about bullying, and it seems to be an issue for the ages, something that has just kind of continues, but it changes, and the focus and the stakes of bullying, I think, tend to get higher at times versus others. For instance, this week, as I understand it, I think we are 18 years since the death of Matthew Shepard, a young man who was bullied to the extent of being killed because he was identified as a young gay man. Bullying affects a lot of people, and I guess to a great extent we say it focuses on young people. Who are the objects? Who are the people who get bullied? Who can start us off by telling us?
Well, John, I think one of the critical aspects for listeners to realize is it's so easy to think that bullying is a rare incident, or that bullying is targeted to only certain students. The numbers, however, paint a very different picture. The most conservative national estimates are that over 3 million kids are bullied a year. I find it staggering that 160,000 kids are absent from schools in America today because of bullying. The latest data that was released by the Federal Department of Education indicates that almost 20% of public school students in America say that they were bullied 2 to 3 times a month during the last school year. So among the many things that we'll talk about today. One thing that I hope your listeners take away is that bullying is not unusual, it's not rare, and it's not targeted for a certain group of students, but it's really a very pervasive and unfortunate element that kids are growing up with in schools and communities.
I mean, one thing I guess we really should do is define bullying. What do we mean when we refer to bullying? It's not merely a disagreement among peers, I assume?
No, what we actually look at it in terms of a repeated behavior that is targeting one person's difference compared to your own, and then shedding negative light and not treating them the same as you would. And one of the things we tried to employ to the parents and the kids is knowing that this is not when Johnny gets pushed on the playground one time because somebody stole the ball from him, but this is someone's targeting because of a difference that they have compared to themselves.
So when we talk differences, what categories are we thinking of? I mean, I mentioned the issue of LGBT, mm-hmm. but certainly, what are they? Racial differences, economic differences, academic accomplished. I mean, the fact that sometimes the smart kids, the ones who get who are seen as teachers' pets, if that's even a common
sure.
term today, are often I guess considered to be bullied.
I would say that there's not an individual off limits because we are fortunate that we all are different. It's just how we handle the differences and how we treat those folks. So it could be physical appearance. It could be the way that one speaks. It could be the class that one was assigned to. If you know, if a student needed extra help in a certain subject, and that gets identified. So going back to what you said about academics, whether or not they made the team could be something of their athletic ability, you know, preferences even of their some personal things. Looking at religious beliefs can also be a target. So I haven't seen a limit to it yet. I mean, we do see in your upper levels of education, you get a lot more. You get a little more span of the areas because kids are starting to become independent and identifying themselves with certain groups. But in terms of what you see at the lower level is more of things that could be seen physically or things that could be identifiable just by sight.
I would like to add, too, that it's not always what you or who you consider the children that are typically bullied. Sometimes it's your students that are doing really well. There's a jealousy factor there. I have several students who are in fear of doing well because they're persecuted from their peers. So I think that's something that we need to draw a light to as well.
When you say you have several students, Mary, you're talking about college students at Berea College?
No, this is high school students through my leadership group. We mm-hmm. do some intense mentoring. We do a lot of climate surveys for them to see how they're feeling within the group and their schools. And a lot of them will say, or the survey results will say, that they are bullied because they want to do well. They have a desire to do well. And their peers, they don't always like that.
So when we talk about the bullying, do we generally think of K through 12, or does bullying go a little older than that?
I would like to say it goes all the way up to, you know, at any age I've seen. I mean, you have adults that bully other adults in the workplace, but that's something, you know, that carries from, you know, from starting out of K or pre-K going all the way through. And so I think one of the things focusing and having these discussions here help these children become more aware of their actions as they are adults and how they affect everybody.
John, I think maybe the operable word or the operable question is who's vulnerable? Who's vulnerable in a school? Who's vulnerable on a playground? Who's vulnerable in a workplace? Because I'm old, unlike your other guest, I spent over 3 decades as a public school administrator. Some of those schools were rural. Some were very urban, elementary, middle, and high. What I would tell you is that the group of young people most likely to be bullied varied radically from school to school. So,
based on whether you're rural or where you're
Yeah, what
you're
Mary
urban.
Just said, in some schools, the high-achieving kids were tended to be the targets of bullying. In another school, it may have been the antithesis. It was that kid who was struggling with reading. In some places, it was students with affluence. In some places, it was students of poverty. So I think that it's important for listeners to know there's not a silver bullet, a magic definition, but I do think that that adjective vulnerable is true in every situation. So who's vulnerable in your environment? And that's who you need to be watching out for.
I mean, has bullying changed or evolved, and without targeting you, because you and I are of a certain age?
Sure.
What have we seen over those 40 years?
You know, when I was growing up, there was one admonition I was given: don't start it, but you better finish it. Okay? And that was kind of an operable thing in schools for a long time. I'd like to tell you differently, but I've got three sons, and I'm not going to tell you that I didn't give them some of that advice. They're in their 40s, so that, you know, you can approximate back. I think what happened was that that educators and other professionals and parents started figuring out that bullying was not just kids being kids. As our principal, current principal at the table mentioned, that doesn't mean you don't have scuff-ups and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to overdo it. But to me, bullying is a persistent pattern where a kid is subjected to just brutal punishment. And it can be verbal, it can be psychological, it can be social, it can be physical. So the good news is that we have finally, as, you know, as just citizens, gotten our head around the fact that bullying is not permitted, and having preachers and pediatricians and principals and coaches and parents talk about bullying is the first step to begin addressing it. So bullying's always been there, but I think for a long time it was kind of accepted, undersold the power of it. So it's a great point you made about that bullying looks different today than it did 20 years ago.
Does bullying vary in a given school from one classroom to the next? Does it vary in a given school district from one neighborhood and from one school to the next?
I wanted to share a little bit. You were asking about some of the differences. Technology, social media has caused a big change, because now kids can, what I always call, have that cubicle courage, where they can say things behind a device, whether it be a laptop or a mobile device, and something they may not really say in person, and they can say really hurtful things, and it goes out to the masses.
And not just kids do that.
Right.
Makes it a 24/7 proposition.
Right. And so, you know, back when I was teaching at the high school level, we started seeing an influx of altercations occurring in the middle of the day that were generated over social media first thing at morning. Not even something to carry over, but some kid would say something and then it would go around to everybody else. And so I think what the challenge we run into in K-12 right now is identifying that factor due to the technology can sneak around the eyes of the adults.
We're talking bullying on this week's Eastern Standard. Your questions, your comments, how about personal stories? Maybe something your children or grandchildren have experienced. Bullying that you may have experienced. Have you ever been the perpetrator of bullying and have overcome that and are proud to tell us why? 800-621-8890. Write to us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest.
At South Park Elementary, we're better than that. Come on, let's all put an end to bullying right now. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Bullying isn't cool. Bullying is lame. Bullying is ugly and has a stupid name. For a healthy world, bullying's unfit. And I think I know what we should do to it. Do it. Let's all get together and make bullying kill itself. Bullying's an ugly thing.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, talking about bullying, as South Park recommends. So kind of a violent approach, make bullying kill itself, but at least we're addressing the violence at a concept rather than at persons.
We're interested.
Bullying, exactly. We like to acknowledge once again our guests in the studio. With us, we have Terry Brooks, the director, executive director of Kentucky Youth Advocates. We have Mary Gibson, who is with Berea College, coordinator of the group called PALS, Promising Appalachian Leaders in Service, and Ken Clark, principal of Kit Carson Elementary School in Madison County. We're interested in hearing from you with your questions, comments, and personal stories about bullying. 800-621-8890. We would really love to hear some of those personal stories today. I think that can sometimes be a very powerful element of a conversation of this type. 800-621-8890. Feel free to write to us, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKU EST. And at one point we did have a young person in mind. We're hoping to get at least one young person into the studio. Mary, are you familiar with the person we were talking about? And of course that for some reason didn't work out.
Yeah, the student's Callie Cheney. She's a part of the leadership group, and she started a project called Sending Smiles, and it's just to remind others that when you're texting, to be conscientious of what you send. And so it's simply you put a smiley face on your thumb, and so when you're texting, that you can say, okay, I need to think about what I say and how I say it. And this has spread throughout her school and to other schools.
We talk about technology and texting and so forth. The issue of cyberbullying and bullying by technology today. To what extent, Principal Ken, to what extent are young people allowed to even have those devices in school classrooms? And to what extent are those things limited during the school day? I haven't been in a classroom at that level in a long, long time. But is that common, that people are sitting there with their phones and their devices all day?
It really depends on the level of the student. Like, for example, we don't have any students in our elementary setting that have devices with them. They're allowed to bring it to school, and then they store it in a secure location during the entire day. So if we were to run into a cyber situation like that, it would possibly be if they're in a computer lab working on a project and they are able to sneak around some of the proxy settings that we have set up already to kind of safeguard around those. But as you get into the middle and high school settings, the umbrella opens dramatically, especially at the high school level, where you're encouraged to bring your own device because there's so much information and so many things you can do with technology to
using
enhance
iPads and, right, and the nice phones, I guess, to access some of what they need for school.
To enhance the instruction. Yep. And so, you know, as a classroom teacher, it's really hard to monitor what that is and give them the empowering of learning what's going on. I'll give you an example. You know, when a teacher is having a discussion, vocabulary is one of the hardest things to overcome for a kid. When you're trying to present them new information and they don't understand some of the words you're using, you've already lost them, even though you haven't even reached the concept. And so now kids can just look up that word so quick, then they can continue to carry on. So
it's like talk show hosts might do when somebody says something during the show.
So that is, and with apps out there changing every day to allow to sneak things in with texting where it hides itself, it deletes itself, but it still happened.
So I could imagine a scenario where students are working on a project. Maybe they're looking up something, researching something, looking at a video or something that they need for class, and they might get a message pop in, you're ugly, mm-hmm, you're fat.
Absolutely. That's very possible, and then it could have gone out to more than one person, and the giggling starts, and then they start passing it along.
Wow.
John, can I say, and I want us to think about this, it's not always peer-to-peer, and I always encourage my students to tell their stories and talk about the painful things that have happened to them in order to grow. And when I tell my story about bullying, it wasn't peer-to-peer, it was my teacher. I had one teacher who called me out every single day. I was a good student, but I was so embarrassed to do anything about that because she was my teacher. So I think we have to even look beyond peer-to-peer bullying.
The issue of bullying is one we're focusing on this week's Eastern Standard. I'm thinking about going to our listeners right away and beginning to hear some of their stories. We've invited stories at 800-621-8890. Send us an email, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKU EST. And let us go ahead and punch up line 6 and talk to a listener who is choosing to remain anonymous, as we certainly encourage you to do, especially on a topic of this type. Caller, thank you so much for being part of our show. Go right ahead.
I was bullied very severely for a number of times, and I'm in my mid-60s now, and it's difficult even to talk about it now. I suffered for three distinct reasons. One of them was that I was good at and thoroughly enjoyed academics in an environment where academics were the mark of Cain, if you want to put it that way. I didn't like the environment. It was a very small school, 200 kids, K through 12. My class of 23 was the biggest in the history of the school. And being different for any reason was not good, but the values in that area were incredible. My stepfather, frankly, had a fourth grade education and had been twice elected president of the Board of Education. And finally, my mother, unfortunately, for a lot of reasons, really was the meanest teacher in school. And I was regularly pummeled and beaten by kids who had suffered from her ill temper. Wrapped that all up in a package of a kid who didn't like farming. I was very slight, still am. Easy pickings.
Wow. So how did that bullying play out for you? What was the nature of the bullying? Did people call you names? Did people push you, shove you, fight you? I can identify with the era. We did not have, you weren't getting text messages. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, my answer to those questions are all of the above.
So, and it was a daily pattern? It was something that just happened consistently, as Terry was saying here earlier, that that's one of the things we're looking at?
Yeah, I was scared to go to school.
So what did you do about it? Did you miss school? Did you, what did it mean in terms of the way you lived your life in that era?
The way I lived my life was in a constant defensive mode, but I went because I liked it. As long as class was in session, I was safe.
Hmm. Any comments for our caller?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having the courage to share your story, and just the fact that you were so transparent that this was happening over a half century ago, and you can hear it in your voice that it still affects you. That should convict our listeners. Just a couple takeaways, and I'm sure that that Ken takes care of this at Kit Carson Elementary. But when you, it's not a mystery about which schools prevent bullying and which ones don't. Environments in which bullying is minimal, there are certain common elements. First of all, there are clear supports and pathways that when a child feels bullied, there are safe ways to communicate that. And it's not in the student handbook. It's not the opening day of school assembly. It's the day-to-day realities at a school. Is there someone with whom that young person can connect? Is there a safe place that young person can go? Maybe it's the custodian, and maybe it's the principal, maybe it's a teacher, but every kid has to feel as if they have an advocate in the school. The other thing that I think some of the best work that schools are doing, there certainly needs to be intense focus on young people who are bullied. There certainly needs to be intense focus on young people who do the bullying. But there is a huge group of young people who have the opportunity to make a difference, and they're the bystanders. They're the observers. And I think increasingly, I'd certainly defer to Mary and Ken, but increasingly schools are figuring out that peers have real power. And if we can create a culture in my school where peers don't put up with that, that bystanders don't put up with that, that it is okay to take action, we can begin to change the climate of that school. And I really do think it's a school-by-school effort. I tend to be a little bit doubtful that there's magic bullets that every school in Kentucky needs the same approach. But I do think that the more we think about bullying, the more we learn that there are steps that schools can take so that nobody has to put up with what that last caller described.
And we want to thank that caller for being part of the program and, of course, choosing to remain anonymous. By the way, feel free to choose a phony name when you call in if you need to remain anonymous so we can at least address you with something. But thank you so much for your honesty in sharing with us at 800-621-8890. You can write to us, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKU EST. Mary and Ken, Terry talked about supports and pathways, ways to provide some kind of connection for every student so they know where to go to get assistance. Talk a little bit about what you see as those supports and pathways in schools to encourage students to get the support they need.
We have been very fortunate with our group of leaders to encourage them to be mentors. We encourage mentoring. That's one of Gear Up's objectives, but peer mentoring is so powerful. Sometimes hearing from the adults, they will say, you know, it's the same old, same old, but hearing from their peers can be very powerful. So that's what we encourage our leaders to do. They will find a student who they feel needs that extra push. And like Terry said, they are the bystander and they can do something. And so mentoring, I think, is huge. And so just offering words of encouragement.
I mean, are we talking about groups in schools, specific groups? Is this a trend where schools are setting up these support groups?
Yes. So I work with 32 districts. And out of those districts, I have 32 students that I work with individually. But they're to go into their schools and form this leadership group and teach the students what we do in our sessions. So it just branches on out.
But this is something done with support of the school and the school system, the district, the county, whatever.
Yes.
A couple of things I was going to add, and Terry hit on my next piece here, is that creating that atmosphere in the building itself. One of the things that I did when I took over the leadership there at the school is establish some school-wide expectations, and we came up with three very simple expectations that the kids could rattle off and know what they mean, and that is that we have each kid, we say that we work hard, play fair, and then the last one, which is really important to me, is take care of each other. And we encourage them by different means of celebrating when we see kids do that. Coupling that with this week, as you had mentioned earlier in the broadcast, this week is Kentucky Safe Schools Week, and the theme is Be the Hero, Stop the Bullying. And so what we've done in the HERO is an acronym for honor, encouragement, respect, and the O is taking opportunity to be a hero. And that's where you look at that peer piece of not allowing that to go on, having that opportunity to step up and say something. And we always encourage all kids to, you know, find an adult that you trust. We're very fortunate at the school that I'm at that the kids are very open to me. Anywhere they see me, they're open to their homeroom teachers or any other teacher that they have. And so we have a few things that we did with our kids. I do daily announcements this week about each of the letters. We have them doing an online pledge through our technology class. And Friday we're doing a appreciation day. We're all wearing red, white, and blue, and we're going to assemble in the gym and make a flag. And this is to honor all the local heroes, those who step up, and try to celebrate anybody who steps up and be a hero, especially for those who are being bullied.
This sounds like an awful lot going on. And I mean, are there schools where they're not doing these things? And are there schools where the administration is looking the other way? at bullying? I mean, does that exist in 2016?
I can say that it absolutely does exist. Out of my 32 districts, there are some that are very aware of the climate and how the students feel and having that student voice, which I think is imperative to solving all problems, and also focusing on soft skills, what I refer to as soft skills, and that's being self-aware, building self-confidence. To me, that's just as important as academics. And we have some districts that are really focusing on those soft skills.
And, I mean, the reason that a school might not pay attention to the bullying issues is because they consider that an option, something that is not quite at the core of their mission of education?
Well, you know, we at KYA take case advocacy calls from across the state. Sometimes it involves kids who are in trouble or families having difficulty. A disproportionate number of those, which won't surprise anybody, tend to come from schools, about school situations. And if we have 120 counties, we have 172 school districts, there are 172 different stories on how bullying is handled, which, frankly, I think is unfortunate. I think I just want to reiterate what Ken said. He's obviously doing a great job. I think there was real wisdom in one of the opening lines from that South Park Elementary theme song, and it said, bullying isn't cool. At the core of what schools have to do, which clearly Ken's doing, is they have to make sure that bullying is not cool. It's not cool for adults to put up with it. It's not cool for coaches to encourage it. It's not cool for bystanders to put up with it. And you've got to substitute. It can't just be bullying's not cool, but what is cool? It's taking care of others. It's playing fair. It's working hard. And so I think you ask a great question, and I would encourage listeners to be really upfront and ask their principal, ask their superintendent, ask their local board member, what specifically are you doing to protect my son or my daughter or my grandkid from bullying? And they need to ask for specific answers, not just general, we're sort of against it. Because again, what you're hearing from Mary and from Ken is good schools take specific steps to make sure kids are protected.
And all of that in the context of trying to live up to academic expectations and PSATs and tests constantly, and the pressures of the financial pressures of whether or not you've got the funds to buy the resources and keep the school functioning.
Yeah, let's get real, and that is that if I'm a principal and I want kids to do well on those spring accountability standards, a young person who's worried about bullying is not going to be paying attention to multiplication tables. So anti-bullying is actually an academic support.
Bullying is our topic on this week's Eastern Standard. Your questions, your comments, your stories are welcome. We have a number of listeners waiting on the line. Pete, Bobby, Don on the line. Feel free to jump on board 800-621-8890 on this week's Eastern Standard on WEKU.
We can make it stop. Stop it out. We can beat its ass until it starts to cry. Let's gang up on it and tell it it smells and beat its ass worse if it ever tells. If it ever tells, let's all join together to try and make bullying kill itself. It'll be fun to see just how bad we can make it. We'll make bullying kill itself.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We're talking about bullying, bullying prevention, and bullying awareness. We're interested in hearing from you. We do have a couple of callers on the line. We have guests around the table, and 20 minutes remaining of this week's program. We're live on Thursday morning. The phone number, 800-621-8890. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Follow the program on Twitter, by the way. We try to have some interesting conversations from week to week, and you'll find out about what's going on the show. And you can participate in the show by sending direct messages if you follow us at WEKUEST. With us in the studio, Terry Brooks, Executive Director of Kentucky Youth Advocates, Mary Gibson, coordinator of the group of youth leaders in Eastern Kentucky called Promising Appalachian Leaders in Service. And we have Ken Clark, principal of Kit Carson Elementary School in Madison County. Let's go ahead and talk to another one of our listeners. And let's see, we are going to talk to Don from Lexington, who's been waiting on the line for a little bit. Don, thank you so much for being part of the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to point out first that bullying doesn't just occur in schools. It occurs in playgrounds, in neighborhoods, in churches, and we, as kids, are victimized. I was, as a kid, mostly on the bus, but I remember vividly the individual did it, and as a foster parent, I saw bullying of kids over and over again, even within their homes. The greatest speaker as a result of my experience was a man named Malcolm Smith. And Malcolm came to the grandparents raising grandkids in conference here in Lexington and spoke about bullying. He was an expert that the FBI and police agencies call on whenever we had these mass shootings. And inevitably, they are victims that do the shootings and are angry and have no idea of what, you know, expressions they could have done before this final step that they take to kill so many. Sandy Hook about destroyed him. But you can go, and all of our listeners, or your listeners, and we can go to the county extension office. I think it's they have a web page, and you can find Malcolm Smith talking about this. And he apparently does trainings for teachers and schools around the country to try to emphasize how we can deal with this, especially helping the victims, but also recognizing the problems that create the perpetrators. It's extremely important that we understand this.
All right, Don, thank you so much. We do need to move on. Thanks for that suggestion. And this is Eastern Standard. Our guests are Terry Brooks, Mary Gibson, and Ken Clark. And Ken, during the station break, talked about the fact that you had a personal story experience you wanted to share about your own background and experience of bullying.
Right, yeah. When I was in middle school, me and two of my buddies that we'd always hung out, we ended up going K through 12 together, but we were in middle school. And the guidance counselor set us down in the cafeteria and said that we have a student here who has brought up a concern and said that this student didn't want to come to school because of us. And we kind of looked at each other and trying to figure out what it was. And we were, like the caller just said, on the playground, different things, treating this kid a little different, not really aware of it, but the impact that it had on that child enough for him to not only come forward and say he didn't want to come to school, but the fact that I was a part of that, and it made me feel really terrible, and kind of allowed me to do some self-reflection and be more focused on how I treated others that wasn't in my small circle.
You treated this kid a little differently. So, I mean, was that from in your mind just a little teasing? I mean, and when we're close, when we're friends, when we know people, we work side by side with people, we may toss out little barbs, little remarks that, you know, they're actually, I guess sometimes we think they're terms of endearment.
Right, right.
Hey, you're my friend, so I can be silly and say something.
I hate on you because I love you.
Exactly. Is that what that was about?
It was similar. It was a playground where we'd play different at sporting activities. And it seemed that we were excluding. This was a version of exclusion. And because of his ability wasn't necessarily up to the same par as our own. Again, not intentional on my end, but those small things repetitively over weeks and weeks with this kid had caused enough concern for him to feel like he was not included anywhere. And so,
I mean, as professionals, especially yourself as an active principal, do you find that that is common in so-called bullying situations? Or do you find some young people who are just genuinely malicious? Their intention is to hurt, or is it oftentimes unintentional?
What I notice at the age group that I work with, a lot of times it's carryover from something from the outside. And then they project it on someone else. They're getting bullied from someone at home or from someone in their personal life outside. And the only way they know how to deal with their anger and frustration is treating someone the way they're getting treated. And so a lot of times it takes a little extra effort to dig into what is the cause of this behavior. And it's not that the kid's a bad kid. It's just they haven't been developed into how to handle their emotions properly. And what do we do whenever we're feeling this way?
It's such an important point that so often bullies actually are also victims of bullying. The other thing that I think Ken alluded to is that sometimes we make bullying more mysterious than it is. Schools and moms and dads and grandparents can be aware of certain things. If in a school you see a young person always alone, alone eating lunch, alone in the hallway, that should trigger something. If you're a mom or dad, and your child is coming home and their personal possessions are always missing or damaged, that's a red flag. That may mean that something is going on untoward. I would assume that most schools make those kind of pieces of information available to parents. But again, I think one of the things that I would encourage listeners to do, John, is to it's easy to find those kind of guides. Again, there are real clear checklists and symptoms of bullying going on. So while it's really serious, it's not quite as mysterious as sometimes we make it. And that's where professionals like Ken and advocates like Mary are so important to keep raising. What should we look for? What are the early warning signs?
I want to put a plug in for Kentucky Center for School Safety right off of Terry's comment there. We sent home this on Monday a front page, two-page document on two parents about tips on how to prevent and how to identify bullying. And we got that directly from their website, which is kysafeschools.org. And there's a lot of information there that John Akers has assimilated with a group of people.
One of the things we'll make sure we do, at least at the end of this program, is make sure we have links onto our website for some of these organizations. And if you all can leave us some notes about stuff that we should add there that listeners can access. Let's go to the phone and get back on the line. Let's talk to Bobby in Richmond. Bobby, thank you so much for calling. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, my situation, it might be a little bit different than about anybody else's, but I went to, I'm here in Richmond and went to a school that was about 80 to 90% white, and they integrated our school with Madison High School at that time. So we were changed over to a situation where it was about 48% black and 52% white. But most of the kids were of the high school age and their younger brothers and sisters. And as a fairly slight young white kid, white boy, I got picked on quite a bit. And it turned out, you know, that situations happened. Like one time I was sitting without a tray at the lunch table, and my teacher came over and asked me, you know, why aren't you eating today? And I had to tell her, well, I had my lunch ticket stolen from me, and I, you know, and then everybody laughed at the table, of course, because, you know, they're kids. And but it caused some resentment for me against black people for quite some time. And you know, that's something that I don't think bullies think about, is that they fester hatred toward them at periods, and it lasts quite a long time, you know. And I've got really good black friends now, but so many things happened during that transition for me, and the only thing that I found that helped me was to get a group of the teachers didn't seem that you'd go to them and they'd say, it happens, don't worry about it, just buck up and you'll be okay. And to get a group of other kids that would hang around with me whenever things like that would happen,
do it in a non-threatening way, I hope. I mean,
yes.
You just form a gang, you know.
No. but if you've got four or five guys that go, we had to walk from one building to another to go from the main building to the lunchroom. And if you've got four or five guys with you that go with you during that time period, it helps, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're a gang. You're just together. And it was just support, I guess, you know.
Bobby, that's very, very, you know, enlightening story that we need to hear. Thank you so much. We're going to have to move on and maybe get some reactions from our guests here in the studio about that. I mean, regrettably, there's a racial element involved. I mean, I assume that's because of the change that occurred in this school system at that time.
Yeah, my guess is, again, going back to the point that bullying manifests itself differently in different schools, you can find examples where a young person was bullied because they were white, because they were black, because they were brown, purple, or green. And it's all about context. I think we all really appreciate these callers having the guts to call in and share their stories. My takeaway from Bobby goes back to a point we had made earlier, which is that school failed to provide him an easy way to take support.
It should have been something obvious where he could go.
Yeah, it probably only took him one time to complain to a teacher and that teacher say, "Buck up, buddy. I'm not going to go back there."
So why go back for that rejection again?
Yeah, we just go back that kids need that TLC support.
I was just going to add to what Terry says. I think schools really need to focus on when there is change, having those sometimes hard conversations. That obviously, the black and white, what kids are comfortable with and not comfortable with. And I think that's so important to change that. And there's lots of strategies for guiding students to develop that greater sense of change and development. So sometimes it's just having those hard conversations.
I was going to talk a little, just briefly, how one of the things at our school, you talked about isolation and kid at home alone. We have an overflow table because our class sizes are larger than some of our lunch tables that we have. And in the event that a student has to go to the overflow table, we require them to take a friend with them so they're not over there by themselves. And that just, because that kid had to go over for no other reason, but other kids looking around would look at that kid and already start making speculation. So to avoid that, and we're also looking at getting what they call a buddy bench, and that's out at the playground. So for new kids who may not have a friend to play with yet, they go over there, and then we've got a lot of kids who will go over and pick them up and say, "Hey, let's go hang out and talk."
Let's go back to the phone. We have time for at least one more caller. Let's talk to a listener choosing to remain anonymous. A listener here in Richmond. Go right ahead and tell us your story.
Hi. I have a birthmark on my face, and so I was prone to bullying and teasing when I was growing up. But from 5th grade to 12th grade, it was by the girl who was considered the most beautiful girl in the school. For some reason, she wanted to torment me how ugly I was. And I think the worst thing about that, you know, throwing food at me and calling me ugly nicknames, is after high school, one of her friends who met me called me by my ugly nickname, not my real name. Didn't even know my name.
Wow. Something that lived on past school. Now, how have you overcome that? What has happened in your life to increase your confidence and overcome bullying, so that it is now, obviously it lives with you for the rest of your life, I assume. But have you come to terms with it? What has that meant to you ultimately?
I have. I was a military brat, and I also went in the military, and lived with a lot of different cultures overseas and different states and everything. And I think that's helped a lot and have been accepted more in different cultures.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. We haven't heard really much from the female side of bullying and sad stories, but hopefully overcoming. Thank you so much for your call. We're running out of time on today's Eastern Standard. I want to get our guests involved. Maybe everybody take a few moments and talk of some tips you want to share, some suggestions, some points that our listeners should look for in terms of identifying bullying or how to provide support for those who are experiencing bullying. Let's start with the school principal, Ken Clark.
My number one recommendation, and this is not directly to bullying, but it can lead to identification, ask your kids every day how their day was. Even if they don't tell you, it's ask them every day, how was your day? What was your favorite thing? What was your least favorite thing? Find out. Get involved in what they're doing. find out more, try to volunteer at the school. Come in, check out, and see what's going on. You know, ask them, who's your friends here, or how are your friends doing? So having that brief conversation, how was your day, can make a big difference.
If there's a concern about what's happening in school, should they feel free to call the principal?
Absolutely. At least at my school. Call the front office. We don't take these things lightly. I've got a great counselor on staff who is trained to handle a lot of these. And again, some of the times, very, very few, is the kid was pushed on the playground. But a lot of times, you know, a kid has a concern. We make sure we legitimize every single concern that comes in.
Mary.
My top advice, being a parent and advocate, is also have those conversations. But I remind my daughter every day that she is important. As soon as she gets out of the car, I say, remember that you are important and that it's okay to be different. And when I asked her, I told her I was going to be on this show, so she always gives me her advice. She's 9 in fourth grade. She says, Mom, the most important thing that you've ever done for me is that I know that I'm important and that not all people are going to be like me, and that's okay. So it's really just helping them to be self-confident and that they can come to you when there is an issue.
Much of that support and self-confidence starts at home, obviously.
It does. And not to overreact when they do tell you something. And sometimes I'm guilty of that. And they're going to be fearful of telling you if you do overreact.
Terry Brooks.
Mine's not a tip. It's a challenge. And I'd love for your listeners to celebrate this anti-bullying week with a really simple challenge. Every listener should pick up the phone and call their school board member or the superintendent or the principal and go back to that question, what are you doing specifically to prevent bullying? John, I've really been taken back by your listeners calling in. Every one of those folks had real emotion in their voice. So bullying is not an option. It's not an elective. We have to take steps in every school to combat it.
With those words, we conclude this week's Eastern Standard. Thank you, Terry Brooks. Thank you, Mary Gibson. Thank you, Ken Clark, for being with us. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our show will be available as a podcast as of Thursday afternoon and repeated on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Associate producers for our show, Brian Burkhart, Marissa Hempel, and Grant Willoughby. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett. Interact with us at any time. Write to us by email or send a tweet at WEKU EST. I'm John Hingsbergen for Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.